You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
To you. Broadcasting in the expeditionary mode from Cherry Point, Marine Corps Air Station type. Yeah, in the state of North Carolina. So good morning to you. Hope you're having a good day wherever you are across the world. My apologies for some audio issues yesterday, but sometimes they happen. And they were all operator error. And for whatever reason, I couldn't unscrew myself. It happens. So please accept my humble apology. And you'll hear that version of Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny immediately following this. So, yeah, you got that to look forward to. And I'll tell you what, it's actually pretty interesting because some of the things we talk about are beginning to happen. And so we'll talk about those here in a few minutes, and then you'll hear Jeff and Tim as we kind of OPT, which stands for Operational Planning Team, as we OPT from three different perspectives, the Iranian perspective, the Iraqi perspective, and the American perspective. So what's interesting about those discussions is both the Iraqi position and the Iranian position are, do I say fraught with danger? How do I say that? Are both perilous positions. They're not, you know, it's not simply let's retaliate. So they're pretty interesting discussions. And as I said, you know, some of the things that, that we talked about, that we'll talk about in that thing are beginning to happen. So I think you'll find it interesting. You'll also find it interesting me yelling at Timmy, trying to keep him focused. I did post-traumatic winning three times here yesterday. And I will tell you, I mean, for those of you who followed this program, the presentation's somewhere between 2 and 3 hours, depending on how I can trim the presentation down. And you know what? And I hate doing it because I have filled that son of a bitch with so much good stuff. For those of you who haven't seen it, I mean, there's audio from Matt Kiker. There's audio from from, you know, Sergeant Parker, as we know him. There's audio from General Furness. There's audio from Elizabeth Smart. There's audio from Jeremiah Workman. There's audio from my sister. There's video from a Jewish rabbi. There's video of Arnado Simpson. There's video of Will Smith. There's audio from General Mattis. There's audio from General Furness a second time talking about counseling. There's audio from Libby talking about the impact on her son Luke. So over the course of the last year since I started doing it, which was a year ago yesterday, what I've tried to do is I've tried to, with everything, not expand it, which had been hard, but what I've tried to do is I've tried to put more precision-guided munitions in there. I've tried to put more powerful things into the program. And so when I look at shortening it, I'm like, I don't want to shorten that. I don't want to take that out of it. I don't want to do that. So it's pretty interesting for me and pretty painful when I try to shorten the program because I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to take that out. I like the way that fits into it. So yeah, that's always painful. But yeah, and you know what's amazing to me? A few things amazing. One, our culture isn't preparing young people. And it's emphasized every time. Because, you know, I'm 62 years old. I'm not supposed to be able to connect with young people. But I'll tell you what, when you talk trauma with them and you listen to the pain that they've gone through and you see the look on their face, right? And they come up to shake your hand to say thank you. It's incredibly humbling, and it's also makes you angry a little bit. I don't think any of us realizes how much bad parenting, how broken families are in the United States. And I deal with it all the time. And if you've never heard the statistic, people who join the all-volunteer force are 50% more likely to have significant trauma in their life. And that's according to a Journal of American Medicine study and article on service members. I'm part of that group. I didn't know that. If you know that, and when you do these kind of things, I mean, they come up and they want to talk to you about it, and which is really interesting. It's really interesting. And like I said, I mean, I have one of the coolest jobs on the planet, bar none. And I'm not exactly sure how it all happened, but I can tell you this: I have a cool job, and even doing it, you know, for close to 9 hours yesterday. No, not close to 9 hours. Over, 9 hours. It never gets old. It never gets tiring. Because, you watch them and the way they respond to it. And so it's the coolest job on the planet. So do it again this morning, this afternoon, and then tonight for a spouse's presentation here at Cherry Point, which is always interesting because spouses understand that we're faking it. So those are interesting conversations. We'll have that one tonight. And then tomorrow again here, and then on Thursday down to New River. We'll do it at New River a few times, and then on Friday at Camp Lejeune for the 2nd Marine Division. So, and Saturday home. Got an email last night. Air Force wants me to, I'm pretty sure I'm going to Mississippi in March, which will be cool. But I think I'm also going to Florida in late February to an Air Force event. So I got an email about that yesterday. So excited about that. So post-traumatic winning continues to get out there. And again, it's only going to get out there more. I think at the end of the year, the grand total for the 2nd Marine Division was that their suicide rate went down 50% after their Marines and sailors saw post-traumatic winning. In a day and age, when you look at statistics, the suicide rate for active duty people went up 3 per 100,000 between 2013 and 2017. Between Okay, so you get the number. I mean, in the civilian population, it's 18.4. In 2013, it was 18.2 in the DoD. So pretty close, pretty similar to the civilian rate. By 2017, it was 21. Between 2017 and 2018, it jumped an additional 3 bodies per 100,000 in a year. So what it took to jump, it took 5 years to go up 3 people a year per 100,000. 2018, it went up another 3 in a year, so the rate's accelerating. And 2019, I mean, the Air Force alone has doubled their rate of suicide. They were the only service that saw a negative relative to suicide in 2018. They went from 63 to 60. And some people might say, well, that's not that much. Look, it's a negative number, man. And that's good. In 2019, the last time I was with them in late October, they were at 118. So I'm sure Air Force-wide, they're, you know, probably close to 130. So they've more than doubled their rate of suicide. So anyway, that's kind of the background of all this, you know. So what's causing that? Why? And, you know, I will tell you, it's broken families, it's shitty parenting, it's schools who don't prepare young people for the real world. And you go through, you know, you go through from timeout corner, from participation awards, to you don't have consequences. You can fail classes, but you're not going to be held back. So you don't have to confront your failure. You don't have to remedy your failure. You don't have to, you know, learn what is one of the most important qualities, you know, that you'll develop in life, and that is overcoming adversity, because you're shielded from it. Nobody wants for you to have a bad experience. So we will pass you down the road. And then what happens is they get out into the real world, and, you know, nobody gives a shit about your feelings. And it's a shock. And they're overwhelmed. And so, but I don't know that I don't think we have a good feel for it until you do this like I do it. And you see so many of them come up and tell you their stories. You know, a female Marine came up to me and said, you know, you were talking about not having a Disneyland family. She said, the holidays for me are horrible. I just try to get through them. They're not joyous things for me. And she said, that's what made me want to come down here and talk to you. And so, I mean, it's really interesting. Matt Kuiker told me, you know, when you say things that are just honest, right, just raw and honest, how that moves people. I remember when I met Matt Kuiker a year ago, and he told me he wasn't going to stay for it. And I said, well, why don't you and I go in this coffee kiosk here? And before I said anything, he had sat down and he looked at me and he said, does it ever stop hurting? And I said, no. And he later told me, he said, you know what? That's when I knew I could trust you, because you're the first person that ever said that shit to me. And I knew you'd be honest with me. And so it's you know, the young people of this country are capable of anything. We've screwed them over. We've screwed them over because of the way we parent, because of the way we educate. It doesn't prepare them well. And so I mean, I'm reminded of this. Excuse me while I screw with my Velcro, but I'm reminded of that every time I do this. Because a 62-year-old guy is not supposed to be able to connect with young people. And it happens all the time. And the currency of the connection is the truth. The truth about living with traumatic shit. And a lot of them live with it. A lot of them would live with it. So anyway, just a great experience. The leadership, the 2nd Marine Air Wing, has been awesome. You know, Sergeant Majors introduced every segment of it yesterday, which has never happened, which is really cool. And to hear, you know, them stand up and talk about their experiences, which you have to do. The leaders that stand up and simply say, the shit people always say, which is, hey, this is really important, you need to pay attention. Marines just roll their eyes. I mean, they don't roll their eyes. They're more respectful than that. But they just, you know, whatever. It means nothing. But when somebody stands up and talks about their life and what they've struggled with, you see everybody paying attention. And so it's been a great day. Yesterday was a great day, and today no doubt will be another great day. So, although I didn't sleep last night, I was exhausted yesterday from flying and then from doing post-traumatic winning. And so I fell asleep about 9:30 and then woke up at 1:30, and I've been back to bed. So yeah, this ought to be interesting today. So yeah, stand by for 5-hour energy drinks, which is no bullshit either. So for me to you, I used to use those all the time in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they help. They help. They'll keep you awake, and then when you try to go to sleep, they didn't keep me awake. So anyway, good morning to you on this Tuesday morning. Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenny going to join us here. You're going to hear what you should have heard yesterday, but you haven't. And then I'll get this posted to the internet if you want to share it. Because I think that the discussion that you're hearing here is more layered, and I think it's better than any discussion I see on TV. The stuff I see on TV is stupid, honestly. It's so full of politics and so poisoned. It's stupid. Most of the stuff I see, Jack Keane is always good. And the other thing I see is I saw an Iranian woman on this morning, and she was really good. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Stand by. Target. This is dedicated to a corporal who I met yesterday, and who dealing with a spouse that struggles with PTSD, and so good luck. You can do it. You can do it.
Our flags come through to America. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake but learn. We don't want to lose but learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather and then we'll take a break. Or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll just stay here. And there's some really interesting news relative to United States, Iranian, Iraqi relations. So just know that this is at 6:35 Eastern time. Right? Normally these temperatures come about 4 hours later than this. So they're a little bit different. Currently in Quantico, it's dark, clear and 28. At Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, it is dark, clear and 35. In 29 Palms, it is dark, clear and 42. Camp Pendleton, dark, clear and 50. In Hawaii, dark, cloudy and 71. Stand by. In Okinawa, as soon as my browser catches up, it is dark, cloudy, and 72. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, just north of the Iranian border, just so you know, it is, and again, that's not out of play in all of this either, that some kind of Iranian irregular force would go into Afghanistan. So, anyway, it is sunny late in the day and 53 degrees in the provincial capital. in Iraq that all of a sudden got really important. It is sunny in 65 in the provincial capital of Al Anbar, which is Ramadi, which is about 30 minutes west of Baghdad. And that is to look at your weather. The there's three articles I want to talk about. The first one is Muqtada al-Sadr. Now, you're going to hear us talk about this dude, but again, he's a very powerful Shiite cleric in Iraq. And he controls his own militia, which was called the Mahdi militia. Anyway, this is news out of Iraq from yesterday. Populist Iraqi cleric Muqtada al-Sadr mourned on Friday the killing of Iranian Quds Force commander Qasem Soleimani and Iraqi militia leaders in the U.S. and Iraqi militia leaders who were killed in the U.S. airstrike in Baghdad, and said his militias were ready to defend Iraq. Now, this is interesting because Sadr has not been cool with the Iranian presence in Iraq. He's called for them to leave. He's also, and I think we talked about this last week, but he's also met with the Saudis, which is something that when I saw the picture, I was like, did somebody Photoshop that? Because those dudes don't do that. So it's kind of interesting. Quote, as the patron of the patriotic Iraqi resistance, I give the order for all Mujahideen, especially the Mahdi Army, Promise Day Brigade, and all patriotic and disciplined groups to be ready to protect Iraq, he said in a statement. He has positioned himself as a nationalist, rejecting both United States and Iranian interference in Iraq, called on all sides to behave with wisdom and shrewdness, however. So what exactly does that mean, wisdom and shrewdness? Well, I guess we're going to find out. But again, Sadr is not. So it's interesting that he mourned, you know, that he mourned on Friday. So his vision, I believe, is himself as a leader of an independent Iraq, independent of both Iranian influence and American influence. But the question is, how much of American support do you need to, you know, to keep from having a civil war there? So, but anyway, so that's in the news. You're going to hear Jeff and Tim and I talk about him a little bit. The next article that caught my eye was the Iraqi parliament, right? Saying that they want the United States to leave, passing some kind of legislation, a resolution, I believe it was, to expel the United States, American troops from Iraq. And this is from Al Jazeera. The subheadline is this: while steps to expel U.S. troops may be straightforward, some experts say neither party is in favor of such a move. Yeah, that's from Al Jazeera. So, again, I think when you begin to read the news, and just my suggestion, but, don't be afraid to check out things, you know, from Al Jazeera, because they'll give you a little bit different perspective, right? I think most people would not, you know, think that this story would come out of Al Jazeera. The story says, despite apparently simple procedural measures required to end the presence of foreign troops in Iraq, some experts argue that a withdrawal of U.S. forces is likely to happen soon, is unlikely to happen soon, as neither side appears fully supportive of such a move. In an extraordinary session on Sunday, 2 days after a U.S. airstrike killed Iranian and Iraqi commanders in Baghdad, the Iraqi parliament called on the government to end all foreign troop presence in Iraq and to cancel its request for assistance from the U.S.-led coalition against the Islamic State of Iraq. A day later, U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper, who was forced to clarify that the United States has no plans to pull out militarily from Iraq, following reports citing a letter by the U.S. military that it was preparing for movement out of Iraq. Yeah, how about that little fiasco? And then we said, oh, it was just a mistake. It was just a draft of a letter and wasn't meant for anybody and blah, blah, blah. Nice, nice. How does that thing circulate? Kind of stupid if you ask me, but whatever. The article goes on. Sarkt Shams, a member of the Kurdish Future Bloc in the Iraqi parliament, said the implementation of parliament's non-binding resolution, quote, relates to whether or not both sides actually want to end the U.S. presence in Iraq. If there is a political will to expel U.S. troops, then the process won't be complicated, he said, adding, however, that an imminent withdrawal appeared unlikely. Quote, the resolution was only passed in an attempt to calm down public anger following the U.S. airstrike, while still maintaining U.S. presence, Shams told Al Jazeera, referring to Friday's attack that killed Qasem Soleimani. Blah, 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 blah. So in order for them to tell the United States, it's a simple procedural vote in their parliament. So anyway, but again, he says there's no political will in Iraq to do that. And so it's, so again, I think when you don't hear that in the United States, you don't hear that in the reporting that's being done. So it is kind of interesting. The other story that I heard, discussed today was the discussion about Iran, their capability, and the fact that they've been conducting hybrid warfare against the United States. And the fact that Iran, and they've been doing that for over 40 years. And that's the reason they're in the position they're in, because they have not taken on the United States, you know, chin to chin, chest to chest. They take on the United States in Lebanon with a truck bomb, and somebody else claims responsibility. And so that's why you're going to hear Jeff Kenney and Tim Lynch and I talk about this little piece of audio.
My youngest son was forced to leave this country because of this Sinatra business. All right, I have to make arrangements to bring him back here safely, clear of all these false charges. But I'm a superstitious man. And if some unlucky accident should befall him, if he should get shot in the head by a police officer, or if he should hang himself in his jail cell, or if he's struck by a bolt of lightning, then I'm going to blame some of the people in this room. And that I do not forgive.
That is Vito Corleone addressing the other, right, heads of families in a meeting as after Sonny gets killed and Michael left the country, and so he's going to bring Michael back. And he's talking about, I don't believe in coincidences. But what that was a hybrid warfare that mafia families would conduct against each other using the police, using bolts of lightning. And so so it'll be interesting, right? The nation of Iran, how do they continue this sleight of hand thing they've been doing for 40 years when the President of the United States has looked at them and said, essentially, if the United States gets struck by a bolt of lightning, if American tourists get gunned down, if bad things begin to happen in my country, I'm going to hold you responsible. And I'm coming for you. I'm not going to go for your proxies. Although we'll deal with the proxies, it will not stop there. And that's really what Iran, they can't sustain. So it's been interesting. So this whole concept of hybrid warfare that Iran has been so successful at over four decades, again, striking other places. And to me, until you hold them responsible, I mean, the United States doesn't wield the power that it has until you say, look, and you give the Vito Corleone speech if my son gets shot in the head by a police officer, if he hangs himself in his jail cell, if he gets struck by a bolt of lightning, there are no coincidences, right? Anything that is hybrid is going to be attributed to Iran. And so I think that's an appropriate policy. Because the United States doesn't need to fear Iran. And so, but, you know, again, we have political leaders that do not wield the power of the nation. They're, you know, again, that's why I say Barack Obama is going to be judged harshly in history. I mean, delusional to the point of empowering both China and Iran and Russia. Because we're going to treat them like somehow or other they're going to change and be nice to us. Totalitarian governments do not do that. They simply don't. So you'll read a lot about, if you in fact do a Google search on, you know, hybrid warfare. So what would you expect the Iranians to do? In some way, shape, or form, somehow try to attempt to mask cyber attacks on the United States, kidnapping. But again, if the president of the United States stays true to form, if you do that, you're going to pay for it. And we're going to come for you. We're going to come for your Republican guards. We're going to come for your oil industry. And we're not going to play this game anymore. So it'll be very, very interesting. So, but I recommend, you know, just to do a Google search on, in fact, there's an article by Anthony Cordesman. And that's in a publication called The Hill that was written last June about Iran and hybrid warfare. And again, they've been doing it for over 40 years. They're really good at it. They're really good at it. So anyway, that's a look at a few headlines. We'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Tim Lynch and you're going to hear Jeff Kenney. And we're going to talk about some stuff. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More Embalming Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.